You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Sacramento Kings are back in Atlanta, where they had a lot of success last year. But historically, Atlanta has been a bad place to play for the Sacramento Kings. Since 2010, the Kings have only won in Atlanta one time. That's less than any other Eastern Conference team. Now, how many of you predicted that? Hopefully, with last year's dominant win over the Hawks, that De'Aaron Fox and this Kings squad are starting to turn that around, and they can continue that here this evening, get a win, and come home with a 2-1 Eastern Conference road trip. We'll talk about it all right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season, year round, game by game, in depth analysis, highlights, interviews with local and national experts. We have it all for you, and it does not stop with the change of the seasons. We're now working our way into the holiday period, and hopefully the Kings can turn their season around here, get some more wins under their belt, and start to work their way back into the playoff conversation in the Western Conference. But hey, we know they have a long way to go before we can start really discussing that. But on today's show, we'll be discussing and previewing the Kings heading into this Atlanta Hawks matchup, where they are favored by Vegas to win. I think most Kings fans are hoping for a win tonight. The Kings are taking on a shorthanded Atlanta Hawks team who is missing one of their two stars in John Collins, who is out with the PED suspension that he was handed earlier this week. So, very winnable game for the Sacramento Kings tonight. Some are calling it must win. I don't know if I would go that far, but certainly a great opportunity to build some momentum coming home with a 2-1 record on this road trip, especially with the tough schedule that the Kings have coming up here, both at home and on the road. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter, and I am joined today by one of my partners at KHDK. His name's Chris Watkins. He's in charge of a lot of the KHDK social media stuff. He's also the guy directly behind the camera. If you go to the KHDK YouTube channel and you see the Kings locker room videos or press conference videos or anything like that, Chris Watkins is the one that is with me at every single Kings home game. So he's going to be joining me to discuss this Kings and Atlanta Hawks game here in just a second. That will dominate the podcast. That will wrap up our week of podcasts here on Locked On Kings. And then, of course, we will come back on Monday to recap this Kings-Hawks game and anything else that takes place over this weekend that the Kings are not playing. I mean, a full weekend of no Kings basketball. It's been a long time since we've had that, so we have to work our way through it. But don't you worry. Again, we'll be back on Monday to start another week of Kings basketball and to update you on anything that is going down. Before we get to this interview with Chris Watkins, I want to let you know that Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off of your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, all one word, at checkout. Now, my conversation with my coworker, colleague, and friend, Chris Watkins. I'm joined right now by my partner in crime at Sports 1140 KHDK. He is with me at every single Sacramento Kings home game. He is mainly in charge for all of the KHDK Twitter account content that you get, including all the great video content. It is Chris Watkins, my buddy, my partner, someone who is very well connected to this Kings organization like I am, and is also very aware of what is going on around this Sacramento Kings squad. Chris, it's a pleasure to finally have you on the Locked On Kings podcast for the first time, man. Welcome in.
Yeah, glad to be here, Matt. Appreciate it. It's been a long time in the work, so, you know, glad to finally make the appearance.
Absolutely. Well, we got ourselves an interesting matchup happening tonight in Atlanta, where the Sacramento Kings have only won one time in the last 10 years. In fact, I think it goes even beyond that, but I stopped looking at the 2009-2010 season, and that one time was last season. Atlanta has just been a difficult place for the Kings to play, a difficult place for them to win. However, they were able to not just beat the Hawks last year, they blew the Hawks out. And I've said many times here on this podcast that the Hawks are one of my favorite teams to watch, one of the most exciting teams to watch. They're actually the Eastern Conference team that I've adopted to kind of follow and pay attention to this season. But in your opinion, What is it about Atlanta that the Kings just have not been able to figure out over the years? It just baffles me that that would be the place.
Well, I hear the partying's pretty good over there, so that that could have something to do with it, is having the night off the night before. But I don't know. I really don't know, because Atlanta's been a pretty middle-of-the-road Eastern Conference teams, obviously, back in, you know, the 2012 days when they had Joe Johnson and Josh Smith. The Kings weren't thriving at that point, and so it's easy to see how we could have lost some of those games. But Atlanta's had some down years since then, and so it's actually pretty surprising to hear that it's been, like you said, 10 years since we had beaten them before last year. And last year's game was a hell of a way to break that streak, though.
Right.
Just absolutely, I don't remember how much they blew him out by, but it was a pretty complete blowout.
Yeah, it was a very lopsided game, and Trae Young did play in that game. So did John Collins. And that Atlanta Hawks team is young. It's exciting. They're trying to do essentially what the Kings are still trying to do, which is build themselves back into a winning program. And a lot of eyes are on Trae Young, and rightfully so. I mean, this kid is incredibly talented and what he's been able to do. The Atlanta Hawks were scrutinized on draft night in 2018 for trading Luka Doncic, the draft rights to Luka Doncic, to the Dallas Mavericks. People thought they were foolish to do that, but in that, they were able to acquire Trae Young, and they got a draft pick on top of that, which, if I'm not mistaken, turned into Cam Reddish this year. So the Atlanta Hawks making moving in the right direction, and ultimately, as good as Luka is, and maybe that stings some in Atlanta, I know it stings some here in Sacramento that Luka isn't here, but as good as he is, Trae Young has been an excellent pickup for them, and he's going to be really fun to watch his career progress.
Yeah, he's an offensive superstar. He can hit pretty much any shot. I mean, you see what Steph Curry was doing in his prime, and you just see how his game is so much affected by how Steph was performing at his peak. And you see so many similarities offensively. He's got a little bit of more work to do in terms of getting his body right, but I mean, yeah, like you're saying, Trae Young is an offensive superstar. I'm not sure if you would rather have Trae Young over Luka, but I think, you know, it's makes the pill a little bit easier to swallow when you see, I mean, just, what was it, last week when Trae Young absolutely demolished LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, it's just stuff like that where you see, like, man, I don't know what the offensive limit for this guy is, because he came out as a freshman. He's still very young, and you see all the advanced moves that he's got, and you know how he sees the game and can attack the game offensively. It's really promising for what Atlanta can do. And obviously, I'm saying all of these with the preface of offensively, because defensively is a whole nother issue, and that's going to kind of be how Atlanta's got to figure out how to win, is to kind of get a team around Trae that can really complement what he where he lacks. You see what the Warriors did, and it's funny because the Hawks have mimicked a lot of the Warriors model. I think they have quite a few execs from the old Warrior days in there. So they're going to try and build their team like the Warriors, and you know, obviously that's a pretty tall task, but you know, it'll be interesting to see. Like you're saying, I could totally see why you would make them your Eastern Conference team. Super exciting. Just a lot of potential. They won't have one of their biggest stars tonight, John Collins, who's suspended 25 games for violating the league's doping policy. But yeah, very exciting team, and you know, thankfully for the Kings, you know, they won't have to see the Hawks at full strength.
Yeah, and you brought up John Collins, which is, you talk about building a team around Trae Young, and I think John Collins is a very interesting and a must-mention part of that, because he and Trae Young's games seem to complement each other really well. I don't know if we expected Trae Young to be as good of a passer and a facilitator as he has been, but a lot of that has to do with pick-and-roll sets that he has run with John Collins, and that's now a massive asset that is no longer there for Trae due to, like you said, him violating the performance-enhancing drugs or the league drug policy with the PED suspension that he's currently suffering. This is a very shorthanded Hawks squad tonight. Trae Young, we didn't know if he was actually going to be able to play because he hurt his ankle a little over a week ago, and we were hearing
it almost looked like he wasn't going to play at all. He was going to miss like 2 weeks or so, and missed the game.
Well, thankfully for the Hawks, and actually, you know, honestly, thankfully for us as basketball fans, Trae Young is available to play, and you never want...
No load management.
Right. You never want the Kings to take on a team that's shorthanded because of injury purposes, but that's what's happening here tonight. You mentioned John Collins is out because of the suspension. We're also not getting Crab tonight. He is not playing. Evan Turner is not playing tonight. Chandler Parsons is also not playing tonight. Those names we know for a fact aren't playing, but Alex Len and Cam Reddish are both probable, so we expect them to play. So based off the fact that the Kings are 2-6 to this point, based off the fact that they're finishing up a three-game Eastern Conference road trip and they have a chance to come home with a 2-1 road trip, I've seen people call this game a must-win tonight. Are you feeling that way?
I mean, it's tough to say that a game this early in the season is a must-win, but I see what they're saying. It wouldn't bode well for team chemistry, and I think that's actually something that is a real positive for this team. Is I legitimately think everybody likes each other, wants the other to succeed, and I think they want to figure out how it's going to work. But obviously, the more losses you stack up, the harder that becomes to everybody's, you know, everybody's a team in the off season. But as the season progresses, obviously, you know, sparks arise, I think tonight, if the Kings lose tonight, it would be a little bit worrisome. I think you can start to really put your hand over the panic meter, or the panic button, I should say.
It's fall, my favorite time of the year. Leaves on the ground and threes from downtown. For some of us, it's only fall, but for the rest of us, it's basketball season. Pro and college ball are tipping off, and there's no better way to feel a part of the action than to have a stake in the game with MyBookie.ag. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to try and win a lot, you can do a parlay bet, for instance. If you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. Either way, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. You can use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with mybookie.ag. It's what I use for my sports betting and sports gambling. If you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your cash right now. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Yeah, the Kings have a really good opportunity here to
just calm everybody down.
Yeah, calm everybody down and create some momentum for themselves to come home. Like I said, anytime you can come home from a road trip, either with a 500 record on that road trip or above, it's a successful road trip. And now the Kings had opportunities to win this game in Toronto on
Definitely.
Wednesday. Unfortunately, they were unable to do so, but realistically, they could have been in a position to go 3-0 on this road trip. That's not the case. They have to put that in the past, recognize that they did what they needed to do to at least have a chance in that game, but couldn't get the job done, and there's no such thing as moral victories in the NBA. But
yeah,
Now you're facing a shorthanded Atlanta Hawks squad that you not only demolished last year. I could make the argument that last year's Hawks squad that they demolished had John Collins, they might have been overall better than the Atlanta Hawks squad that's going to be rolled out tonight. It would only make sense, even though Trae Young's in his second year and is playing out of his mind, it would only make sense that the Kings are able to once again handle business in Atlanta and come home 3-6 on the year.
It would definitely make sense. But the one thing we know about the Kings is things tend to not make sense.
Yeah.
And how many times have the Kings played down to the competition or played up to competition? It just seems to be what they do. Hopefully, you know, like last year, Atlanta was one of those times where, you know, last year, a lot of the times the Kings go in there and make it a really close game and, you know, they might pull it out. But it was great to see. To me, that was one of the games where I was like, okay, we're legitimate. Like, this is real. We are way better than the Hawks, like we should be, and we're showing it. And, you know, it's when a win's a win, you'll take it however you can get it. But when you can get those 20-point secure wins when the bench is playing all the fourth quarter, it just – it does the opposite of coming of like what I said earlier. It just really brings the guys together, and it's like, you know, you can have fun playing the game.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately why, you know, we're all here.
And we know the Kings themselves are trying to figure things out, but they've been dealing with being shorthanded and injury issues since literally day one, game one. Marvin Bagley has not played since that Phoenix game. Dwayne Dedmon and Harry Giles are both questionable for tonight's game. Of course, it's Dedmon's return to Atlanta where he played last year. He's dealing with a right knee sprain, so we'll have to wait and see what the news is on him. And if he's going to be playing tonight, we would imagine it would be an off-the-bench type role as he's been playing over the last few games. But it hurts not having Marvin Bagley in the lineup, but I think it was most apparent that the Kings lacked Marvin Bagley on Wednesday against the Raptors, where they were giving up a massive amount of points in the paint to Toronto and just weren't getting scoring output at all from their bigs. I have to imagine, now I'm not saying if Marvin Bagley plays on Wednesday that the Kings win that game, but I have to imagine the game would have looked differently if Marvin Bagley was out there, and the Kings are feeling the sting of him not being around.
Definitely. I think, like you're saying, last game was really tough to not have Marvin, especially when you go against, you know, the teams like Philadelphia or like Toronto, where their best players, or three of Toronto's best four players, are big men. You got Siakam, you got Ibaka, you got Gasol. And when when you're throwing out Rashawn Holmes and Dwayne Dedmon and Nemanja Bjelica against them, they're doing the best they can, but they're just better players.
What I did like to see from that game was the fact that Harrison Barnes they battled through. Yeah. They battled through the fact that De'Aaron Fox got into massive foul trouble mm-hmm. early, and they fell into a really deep hole. They actually won the second, third, and fourth quarters, which is very nice to see, something I hope carries over into tonight's game. But Buddy Hield, Harrison Barnes, and Bogdan Bogdanovic all finally together had good shooting performances. And we have yet to see to this point, well, at least until that game, the three of them look on and look comfortable shooting the basketball together, especially Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovic. I'm extremely confident that if that could become more consistent this season, those guys hitting 40%+ of their three-point shots, the Kings will get right back to their winning ways.
Definitely. Definitely that. Bogey has, I don't know what exactly his percentages are, but the first couple, five games of the season, they were really, really down. And another, in addition to that, is Dwayne Dedmon. I'd love to see him start hit some threes.
Yeah.
He's been just absolutely, I mean, I think he's hit two threes all season.
Yeah, he had the big one late against the Utah Jazz, but that's the only memorable one so far.
He had one on Wednesday against Toronto in the corner, I remember. But that's been the weirdest thing for me, is to see Dedmon last year. I think he was at 36% from three, and he's progressively found and became a better shooter as his career has progressed. And just to see him regress to, I think these are his worst shooting numbers since he was on the Spurs and getting like 15 minutes a game or something like that. So it's been interesting to see him struggle. And I would like to think he's going to find his shot eventually in the season and land somewhere near 35, 34%. But I mean, just to see, he can't hit anything out there. And I think once he's able to kind of find his shot and get back, it'll do a lot for the Kings offensively, because that'll be the one thing that people were most excited to see Dwayne Dedmon, is to have somebody out there in the starting lineup. Theoretically, obviously, he's been pulled from that, but someone who can stretch the floor and create some spacing for the Kings. And Nemanja's done a great job mm-hmm. of that so far. Nemanja's came out just like he did last season, the first month, just absolutely on fire.
And in Dedmon's defense, and maybe some people don't want to hear this, and I understand that, but it's a legitimate point. Dwayne Dedmon came to Sacramento expecting to be the guy that stands in the corner or stands on the perimeter, shoots threes, and grabs rebounds, and that was his role. As soon as Marvin Bagley went down, suddenly it became Dwayne Dedmon's responsibility to run the pick and roll, with Nemanja Bjelica playing alongside him. As soon as Bjelica makes his way into the lineup, then it's Bjelica that gets to hang out on the perimeter, and Dedmon had to work his way in. I give Luke Walton a lot of credit for recognizing that wasn't really working, and Dedmon didn't look too comfortable doing that, and bringing in Rashawn Holmes, whose game is much more situated to play in that style. So Marvin Bagley going down, I think, had a profound effect on how Dwayne Dedmon's season has began. That being said, he is still getting good looks, and they're not falling, so I don't expect that to last the entire year. But I asked Sean Cunningham this when I interviewed him last week, and I'm curious what you think about this situation. When Marvin Bagley comes back, let's just assume, let's pretend that he's coming back tonight. Where do you work him in? Is he immediately back in as a starter? And if so, are you moving Dedmon back into the lineup with him? Are you starting him alongside Holmes? Are you starting him alongside Bielitsa? To me, I'm starting Bagley at the five and keeping Bielitsa at the four because I have a hard time taking Nemanja out with how well he's been playing.
I think I kind of agree with that. Just given it, you know, half a second of thought, I think Marvin ultimately throughout... By the end of his career, Marvin's going to have to play center.
Absolutely.
It's an issue that Anthony Davis has where he wants to play the four. I'm not sure if Marvin has attested to, you know, he's absolutely not going to play center yet. But I think if the Kings are going to have their optimum lineup, I think Bagley's going to have to play center. So I think the sooner you can get him into that and learning how to play the position, I think the better. In terms of scheme fit, I think it works too.
And to jump in there too, just to provide a little bit of context, he played around 25% of the minutes that Bagley played last year with the Kings. He played at the center position. So we've seen him be at least successful in that role before. However, that was off the bench, not as a starter.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the problem, and I'm going to use this as a little bit of a segue. I feel like an issue that I don't see a lot of people talking about is the defense has been, especially late in games, I don't feel like when the Kings need to get a stop, they can get a stop. And that's been an issue for a couple years now. I mean, it's been a common issue. It's a common issue for bad teams. But I don't think this is a bad team. And so it's interesting to see that, you know, come late fourth quarter with like 4 minutes to go, it doesn't ever seem like the Kings can get, you know, back-to-back stops. And that's how you obviously can take the lead, because if you're just trading baskets all night, you know, it's not going to do you much good.
Yeah, and that became apparent. I mean, it's apparent in a lot of close games that the Kings end up getting in. They allowed the Jazz to make a massive run to cut a Kings 9-point lead down to one. The Kings were able to hold on and actually win that game. And then they needed a couple stops against the Toronto Raptors in order to win that game, and they just couldn't get it. They were crushed by Ibaka and Siakam and Gasol on the inside. That's an interesting thing to bring up, because one of the things I'm fascinated to pay attention to tonight is if the Atlanta Hawks are going to win this game, they have to get a massive night out of Trae Young.
I think they're going to have to get it out of somebody besides Trae Young.
Well, absolutely.
Too.
And Trae Young's going to get his support.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Young has to be the leader and the guy that's charged. I mean, he needs to score, in my opinion, 30-plus points tonight if the Hawks are going to win. That's where I have a lot of attention on De'Aaron Fox tonight. Is he going to be able to guard Trae Young without getting into foul trouble like he did against the Raptors? And is he going to be that pesky, annoying on-ball defender that we know he can be? Because we've seen, and we saw it last year against Mike Conley, De'Aaron Fox can shut down scoring point guards when he wants to. The question is, does he want to do that for a full game? Because if he can do that against Trae Young tonight, I don't see how the Kings lose this game.
Yeah, I think it's a good matchup for De'Aaron, too. He obviously has quite a large size advantage on him. He's much taller than him, and Trey's a pretty small guy. I think the key is going to – I think Trey's going to get his. I think no matter what, it's going to be in Atlanta's game plan to get Trey, like you're saying, at least 25 would be the minimum I could see him going for. But it's going to be the guys around Trey that are going to have to step up. And – you know, I hate to keep bringing back old times, but how many times have random players dropped career highs on
You're
the Kings?
You're 100% right.
And it's going to be having to stop DeAndre Hunter, who's up and down scoring, but, you know, could definitely has the ability to score points. Cam Reddish has ability to put up points in bunches. It's just going to be stopping the guys that you're supposed to stop. Trae Young's going to get his, not saying you can't make his night difficult. You can't, you know, hold him to bad shooting numbers, but I just think the Kings are going to have to be tight all the way around. And if they are that way, then I think just like last year, they can absolutely blow Atlanta out of the water. But if they allow, you know, the Cam Reddishes of the world to you know, give them 18 points on a random night. And I think we saw it in the Charlotte game. Malik Monk had you know, 18 to 20 points. I can't remember what it was, but you, those are the guys that you really need to stop if you're going to be consistently beating these teams.
Yeah, and Jabari Parker's another name to bring up, averaging 15 points per game. You definitely have to keep an eye out for him. Another guy that I think is going to be important to the Atlanta Hawks' success tonight, and I always have a hard time pronouncing his last name, so I apologize ahead of time if I'm not pronouncing it completely correct, but Kevin Huerter?
Yes, Huerter. It's Huerter.
Kevin Huerter. He only averages 7 points per game, but he's someone that can space the floor. He is aggressive. He's had success against the Kings in the past. He plays hard. He's someone that I could see having a sneaky good game that really cost the Kings, so another guy to keep an eye out for.
Exactly, yeah, really good shooter. Just somebody on the perimeter you got to look out for, and the Kings have been really slow. Their bigs have been slow to get out to the shooters defensively, and Atlanta's a team who's got a bunch of shooters. So the three-point line is definitely something you're going to have to look out for tonight.
Well, if I was going to ask you for a prediction, what are you feeling? Kings win tonight by how much?
Man, I'm hoping Kings by at least 15.
Looking for another blowout in Atlanta. Yeah. That would be nice to see. That is Chris Watkins, nice enough to spend some time with me here on the Locked On Kings podcast, hoping for a 15-plus point Sacramento Kings victory tonight. Over the Atlanta Hawks, that would be crazy if the Kings could beat the Hawks in consecutive years. I don't know when's the last time they've been able to do that, but certainly a winnable game here and a chance to go 2-1 on this three-game road trip and start to get this season back on track. Chris, thank you so much.
Absolutely, Matt. Anytime, man.
It was a pleasure to have Chris on, and we thank him for taking the time. We also thank him for the fantastic coverage that he provides, all the hard work that he does at KHDK to provide you with the excellent video coverage and social media coverage that you get from the KHDK Twitter account and KHDK YouTube channel. He and the rest of the team at KHDK that I have the privilege of working with do a great job, and I see them grinding every single day. So to be able to chat with him and have him on and get him to spend a couple minutes with me here truly is a privilege that I do not take for granted. I also do not take you, the listener, for granted. I thank you for listening, as always, to this podcast here today. If you want to respond to anything Chris and I discussed, have any questions, comments, anything at all, you can reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. Feel free to direct message me, DM me there. My DMs are always open to have a conversation with you there. If you're not on Twitter, go ahead and shoot me an email, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Would be happy to talk with you there. Also, I am always available at Kings games. If you want to discuss things with me in person, make sure you reach out to me and let me know, and I would be happy to set up a time to meet with you, whether it's before a game or during halftime. I'll let you know exactly where I am so we can have conversations there. And also today, I'm going to be joining on or hopping on and hosting KHDK's Game Night, which is our pre-game show. Myself and the high flyer, Henry Turner, former Sacramento King himself, he will be joining me. We will be hosting Game Night and just previewing the Kings and the Atlanta Hawks on KHDK for an hour that starts at 3 o'clock Pacific time, bringing you all the way up to Kings Live pregame, which starts at 4. So if you want to tune in and listen to that, would love to have you there for some more Kings content and some more Kings coverage from yours truly. So do that. Make sure you listen on the KHDK app. You can listen on KHDK.com, or if you're in the Sacramento area, it's AM 1140 on your radio dial. I look forward to being back with you next week. Have yourselves a great weekend. Hopefully we're enjoying a Kings win tonight, and we'll discuss it all, win or lose, on Monday. My name is Matt George. Have yourselves a great weekend and a great day. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.